can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now, Don, we're just going to fill in time until the doc rings in from Sydney. So there'll be a scramble to see if we can get him to air when he does ring in. I think we're recording him as we speak. We're not recording
him.
No,
we're not.
We're recording. The thing is on Bluetooth. And when he rings in, you might have to get Shelley to come down from stairs to make sure that he's on air. Anyhow, he will ring in. So we were talking, Don.
Now, have you thought about why we're in such a good mood today? I think it's got a lot to do with the weather. It's a beautiful morning, and I think weather has an effect upon our moods.
Then there'd be a lot of grumpy people up in the north of Victoria, Don.
Well,
because they're underwater.
That's an unfortunate situation, but that's another issue, isn't it? That there were no building regulations back in the old days. It reminds me of a song that Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits put out called Telegraph Road. Have you heard of Telegraph Road?
No, Don, why don't you?
A man with a pack on his back set off into the wilderness.
Why don't you hum a few bars of it?
I'd love to, but I wouldn't do it justice. I wouldn't do it justice. Shut up.
No, please.
You're a control freak.
Wait, I'm watching
no,
this.
No, 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 no. Just shut up, will you, please? Jeez, you're a...
Go on.
You're a... Anyway...
Go on.
In the old days, they go off into the bush like they do and...
What's it called?
Telegraph Road.
Go on.
Mark Knopfler. Dire Straits. And anyway, they put their swag down beside, or they thought that it would be a good piece of land, but it would have to be near water because you'd drink. So where would they camp? Near a river. Now, this is going back hundreds of years. So consequently, a town built up around where this man settled. People seem to congregate, though we need a group. Is that it? Is that the introduction? Get into it a bit.
Oh, well, how can't push it on?
Oh, we'll be here all day. The intro goes for ages.
When it
starts. So consequently, there were no building regulations and houses or towns come up around rivers right through the whole of Australia. And consequently, we've got floods and the place are being washed out because of lack of building regulations.
And why did that remind you of Dire Straits?
Because this man goes off into the wilderness and then he settles down, builds a cabin and whatever else. Then
there's a...
That's not the song.
Telegraph Road, Dire Straits. Dire Straits.
Oh, he's going. He must be on something, Mark.
Well, that's it.
Well, what's he doing?
What was their great song?
Romeo
that was on
and Juliet.
MTV.
Romeo and Juliet.
No, they're
Money
great
for Nothing.
Money. Yeah, that
Come
was
on,
the
what else?
That was the theme song for MTV, Dire Straits.
Money for Nothing.
Is this Telegraph Road?
It has a long introduction, but Mark Knopfler gets on himself a bit when he starts playing acoustic guitar or steel guitar.
Well, that is the acoustic guitar, because that's a photo of it. That is the worst song I've ever
no,
heard.
No, it's not.
I can't
It's probably
it
one of their better ones. Romeo and Juliet, I thought, was very good.
Right.
Brothers
so
that's
in Arms. Straight here, bloody
anyway, old. So that's
yeah. So
that's the floods that are in Victoria at the moment.
So people will say that this is something to do with
climate. No, please don't get into climate change. We've gone through that week after week. It's not climate change. And we've read out Dorothy McKellar's...
People, I love a sun...
Burned country, a land of... Whatever.
Sweeping plains
and ragged mountain roads.
Don, the only reason we talk about the climate change is people say they're the worst floods since 1945. And yet the point is, well, if they're the worst floods since 1945...
What were they doing in 1945?
What was happening in 1945
That's
to do with
right.
climate change and global warming? And they say, oh, it's the worst heat wave since the turn of the century, like 1900. And I say, well, what about 1900? How was the climate changed any different? I mean, honestly.
Talking about climate change, I live down on the peninsula.
We're waiting and for can the doctor you ring in.
Can you believe this? And it's headlined, Wacky Peninsula Push, in the Herald Sun today. Can you believe, and I'm in this shire, they've elected these Green. Councillor Bessinger says at a council meeting, and they've passed this motion, The council could be sued by a tree. The council could be sued by a tree. She says we're losing the tree canopy. And when she looks out a window...
Here
this
we go. Now, here's the doc.
God, I'm halfway through a subject.
Doc, hang on. Hang on. Hang on just a minute.
Here
can
we go.
Can you hear us, Doc?
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh.
Can you hear us?
Loud and clear. Fantastic. Don, how are you, Don?
Yeah, good, mate. You look terrific in that You Cannot Be Serious hat.
Oh, mate, how good are the caps?
Have you worn it out? Yes.
Yeah, you know where I wore it recently? Where? I was invited to go on a helicopter to fly over a big dam here in Sydney called Warragamba Dam.
Yes.
And so I wore it on that little journey when I was out there. It was a big talking point. And
yes.
I think, well, there were four of us on the chopper. Two of us were right across the podcast, and we are loyal listeners of the podcast. The other two hadn't heard of it, can you believe it? I don't know where they've been living.
Well, obviously they've got a higher intellect than what you have.
Go on, Don.
No, because what it led to, Don, it's a billboard, right? It's a living, breathing billboard for the You Can't Be Serious podcast, because then one of them sent me a text the following day saying, mate, I've just tuned in. It's actually very funny. So there you go. Even though you don't try and be funny, you guys try and be serious, but some people actually laugh at you.
So yeah, they're taking advantage of us.
You've put us on the map, Doc.
Oh, no, that's unfair. I think we've got a case.
I reckon I should try and wear the cap somewhere very public. I need to try and wear the cap in public somewhere, you know, at an official event or something. For example, we've just learned that we're going to have a royal visit coming to Australia in 2024. We don't know whether it's going to be Charles and Camilla or William and Kate or all four of them. But, you know, imagine that. I'm not suggesting I'm going to be invited along to the official reception.
Of course
you
would.
You'd be the MC. Imagine Can't Be Serious hat on MCing a royal function.
I think it would be fantastic.
It would be.
So I just quickly tell you, the caps, we said if you want to get a cap, just did this in the first segment, if you want to get a cap, ring up, get a hold of michaelchristianmenswear.com. And then as an aside, I said upyourass.com. And Mick said, Michael Christian said, please don't say up your ass. There's people been typing in michaelchristianmenswear.com up your ass. And he said, please don't say it's up your ass because it's not. And I said, well, mate, that was just an aside, a tongue in cheek. So it's michaelchristianmenswear.com if you want a cap.
You know what? When it comes to merchandise, I just think the cap is a great way of spreading the word about something, because so many other things, when I see people spending money on advertising, apart from radio advertising, of course, I kind of think, I'm not sure that's hitting the mark. Where, you know, when you're walking around, you've got it on your head. It's just a great thing to be able to advertise the podcast. And I know we can't afford billboards yet or sky riders or anything like that, but one day we'll be able to spend some money on it.
Hang on. You're using the plural we. Do you think you're included?
In what?
Well, I think he's forcing himself
he's
upon us.
He's put us on the map, Don.
Has he?
Of course.
Well, on weeks like this, every second week, Don,
yes,
it is a we. I'm part of the team every second week, as you know.
No, absolutely, Doc. You've
and
put
Don,
us on...
I can also tell you, I can reveal exclusively that I have been approached through my agent to try and scale up my involvement in the podcast to turn it into a weekly thing.
So oh, no,
we're
please.
In negotiations. No, there are negotiations underway at the moment.
Don, you don't want to hope the doc doesn't get too comfortable, Don, because you'll be out.
God.
It'll be the doc and me. Now, Doc, you made a very good segue into advertising, because I want your opinion on this. The Netball Australia, are you across this?
Yes.
Netball, I don't know if you want to speak about this, or else you've got things you want to bring
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Netball
have you already touched on it on the podcast, or have you spoken about it yet?
Not at all. No, but I just wanted to just fill people in.
Well, have a listen to this, Don. What Sam's going to do right now is he's going to do the setup. Go right ahead, Sam.
Netball Australia have the people who run it accepted a sponsorship from Hancock Mining, that is Gina Reinhardt's company, for $15 million, and some of the participants in Netball Australia, the Diamonds, have kicked up saying that their history with Indigenous Australians digging up mines, and then someone came in and said yes, and their climate record hasn't been too good. So the woman who, or the person who was the CEO of Netball Australia, Miss Go, she's fallen on a sword and resigned, and all hell has broken loose about sponsorships, which begs the question, just who is running the competition, and what right do you have to say that you won't participate? I can understand that. I wouldn't wear a Guernsey that represented something I didn't agree with either. I'm wondering, would you read an ad out, Doc, that you didn't agree with if you were asked to by your sponsor?
No, well, there have been certain ads that I've knocked back, but most of the companies who come forward and want to advertise are reputable companies like Hancock Prospecting, by the way, which is Gina Reinhart's company. Can I just take you back a little bit and tell you why this certain player had an objection to Gina Reinhart? She said she was concerned about comments made by Gina Reinhart's father, Lang Hancock, almost 40 years ago. So this is where we've got to now with cancel culture. It's not about what you said. It's about what your dad said 39 years ago. And yes, Lang Hancock, in a different time and in a different place, made totally inappropriate comments about Indigenous Australians. Almost 40 years later, this player has said, well, therefore, we can't be associated with Gina Reinhart. But can I just give her a newsflash and all the other players a newsflash? Netball was broke. Netball essentially is broke. Even though it's a high participation sport in Australia, when it comes to sponsorship and viewership, it's a dud. Gina Reinhart stepped in and said, here's $15 million, and guess what? I'm going to pay your wages. So the wages of these players come directly from Gina Reinhart and Hancock Prospecting. But then the girls decide, you know what? Because of mining, because of a comment made 39 years ago, we're not going to wear this uniform. We don't want to wear the logo. And now there are peace talks underway. And the Diamonds captain, Liz Watson, says, we're great supporters of Hancock. We want to make it work. There have been further discussions about when we're going to wear the uniform. I'm confident it will be resolved really soon. You know, they're lucky that Gina Reinhart doesn't say, listen, sweetheart, I'll make it easy for you. Stick it. Forget about the $15 million. I'll take it back.
So then
you've got Pat Cummins. You'd be across what's happened with Pat Cummins, our Australian cricket captain, who's a really good bloke and a fantastic bowler. But it turns out that Pat Cummins didn't like the fact that Alinta Energy was a major sponsor of Cricket Australia. He had ethical objections because of Alinta's use of fossil fuels. Forget the fact that Alinta has got major renewable energy projects happening. They've got the biggest wind farm in Western Australia. They're building batteries and all sorts of other renewable projects as well. But because Alinta uses fossil fuels, Pat Cummins has then said, look, I don't want to appear in the Alinta ads anymore for the upcoming summer of cricket. But I've revealed on my radio show this morning that when he's appeared in these ads previously, Pat Cummins, he has been paid directly by Alinta Energy for those appearances. So it's not part of the sponsorship deal with Cricket Australia. He's copped money directly from the energy company that he now wants to boycott. So, I mean, feel free to speak up and to share your views with everyone, but just be careful, because if you think about all of the companies that are out there that might sponsor your team, all of them have got their critics, whether it be a fast food company, an alcohol company, an insurance company, a bank, an energy company. Eventually, there'll be no sponsors left, and that means you better go out to the park and play on the weekend and do a sausage sizzle, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to raise any money.
And I presume, Doc, that those people, being virtuous has its drawbacks, I presume that the people who complain about Hancock Mining or Alinta Gas won't be using any of their products that are made from the mining company that produces those products or that powers someone's house from Alinta Gas or Alinta Energy. Well, they will actually have their contracts cancelled that provide power to their house, or won't use the products that Hancock Mining produce.
Well, Sam, to pick up on that point, you'd have to play the netball in the dark, and you'd have to play the night cricket matches in the dark, right? Because if you're not going to enjoy the benefits of those mining companies when it comes to actually providing the power that powers the lights that allows people to watch you playing netball or cricket, then Yeah, I suppose it'll have to be lights out.
We are in vehement agreement for once, Doc. It's just extraordinary.
Hey, I've got one for you guys. You guys at some point should have a look at a version of Media Watch that went to air on the ABC on Monday night, because Media Watch did a really good job on Monday night, and I'm not always a fan of what Media Watch does, but I'm giving them a rap on this occasion because they've exposed this lobby group called ACON, A-C-O-N. And ACON is now in bed with the ABC, with federal government departments, even the Office of Prime Minister and Cabinet. And what it is ACON has got all of these nutty ideas. Like, for example, they say we shouldn't use the word mother or father in the workplace. Instead, we should be saying things like, for example, primary caregiver and secondary caregiver. Right? They say that words like maternity leave, paternity leave, mother, dad, they're reinforcing norms that have been around for a long time that we shouldn't be reinforcing anymore. But the ABC, through Media Watch, has discovered that all of these government departments and the ABC actually pay this mob, ACON, and ACON then gives you a score. ACON then tells you whether you are platinum, gold, silver, or bronze. And the more woke you are, the better return you get as far as your little status or award, whether you be platinum. So the Australian Tax Office is platinum. Gold is the ABC, SBS, NBN and Services Australia. Silver's the CSIRO and the Health Department. Bronze is the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. So I'd love to know whether Anthony Albanese supports the idea of people not being allowed to say the word mother and father in the workplace.
Birthing
and
parent.
Essentially, I mean, yeah, essentially this is a scam where you shame these departments and these companies to say, look, if you want to be seen as really inclusive, then you're going to have to pay us money and sign up to our program, and then we'll give you a ribbon to let everyone know that you're a nice person. So it's like a standover operation where, you know, you threaten people and shame people if they're seen to be not doing the right thing, and you're essentially handing money to people with these nutty ideas.
Now, I'll give you one, Doc. You ready for this, for your producers to go and investigate? You ready? And
sure.
Don't go, oh.
Don't do I that. Have, don't go
I have
that,
recommended
Doc.
To friends of mine, and they are caravanning through New South Wales, Northern Territory and outback Queensland, and they're stopping at a town, which I think is a nice town, called Bourke.
Oh.
Now listen, why don't you do a report or an investigative report into Bourke? Now my friend from the peninsula, his wife didn't want to stay in the caravan any longer, so they decided to stay in a motel. Do you realise that night when they're sleeping in bed, the door was kicked down and two youths came in, attacked them, took their valuables and money and bashed him up? Now, I rang to, you know, investigate this because I have contacts in the town, and my contact told me that a judge, because there's a circuit and a judge came up or magistrate came up to the Bourke courts, and she was female, stayed in a motel. It was kicked down by young people. She was terrorised. She sat on the case when these perpetrators came to court. And because she felt sorry for them, she let them off. Now, what I'm saying, why don't you, and I've talked to you before about it and you've
take
scoffed
the bride and the kids up to Bourke.
No, why don't you do an investigative report right. into Bourke and what all actually right. goes on in outback Queensland, because it's so far away from Sydney. You people,
take
close
Jody.
Your eyes, shut up, John, and this is a disgrace to you people as New South Welshmen.
Take Jody and the little nippers up there for a weekend.
You wouldn't even okay. take them up there.
I've got three things to say, Don, in response to that. The first being, I have investigated outback crime and things like that before, but I'm happy to do it again. Two, I'd like you to provide the details of the first couple you mentioned who were victims of an attack, and I'll happily interview them on the radio to get
good.
Their first-hand account of what
I
happened.
I will ring all him right. when I go home and see if he wishes to come on,
and,
right?
And the third
and
thing?
And thirdly, what's the name of the motel? Because it sounds like it's a very exciting place to visit.
Yeah, Holiday Inn, I think it is.
Well, when I was up there, to just add another third string to it, the boys went in one night, held up the night manager, pinched his car and took it and burnt it.
Jeez. Well, Sam, I haven't worked out what I'm going to do for the summer holidays yet, but I think you've raised a very good idea in that Jody. I could pack Jody and the kids into the car. We listen to old podcasts of You Cannot Be Serious, and we head to Bourke, and we order some room service for the morning, and we know when it arrives, someone will kick the friggin' door in and then deliver the eggs on toast.
Now, Doc, it's fantastic. Now, Doc, I want to just, did you realise, now this, I saw this in the overseas news, that they had the top 50 coolest towns or cities in the world. Did you see this? Right. No. Well, and this is the top 50. I'm not going through them all, but they came from Copenhagen and France and the Riviera and Morocco and Italy and the Amalfi Coast and all. Number 27 on the top 50 coolest towns in the world were Fitzroy in Melbourne. And I'm going to read you out, what was number 33. The 33rd coolest town in the world is Marrickville in Sydney. Now,
Marrickville?
That's what it says. I'm going to read out what it says about Marrickville, if I can just find it on my phone here.
Well, you know who Marrickville is linked to forever and a day, and that is the man known as the Marrickville Mauler, the one and only Jeffrey Fenwick.
Jeff Fenwick.
Oh, I see.
Fenwick is originally from Marrickville. He now lives nearby in a suburb called Five Dock, but Marrickville is a cosmopolitan, very ethnically diverse and rich kind of place as far as food is concerned. And
this is what it says. Marrickville has a complex identity. The traditional land of the Gadigal people of Eora Nation is a formerly industrial swath of land in the Cook River Basin that's since become desirable postcode for families, but there's still a lot of manufacturing business rubbing shoulders with beautiful Federation homes and terraces. Waves of Greek and Vietnamese residents have also left their mark. It goes on and waxing lyrical about Marrickville, the 33rd coolest city in the world.
Well, can I tell you, if you told the people of Marrickville that they had made the top 50 coolest cities in the world list, they'd say, mate, you're taking the piss.
That was my point.
They are real people who would go, well, hang on a moment, someone's clearly bribed the judges. How in the world did we make this list? And we're not even a city anyway. I mean, they're a suburb of Sydney. I don't know how they get called a city, but it's always one of those boring lists, isn't it, when they say Melbourne's the most livable city in the world, or Sydney's the prettiest city in the world, and then you realise this is just some strange travel magazine or something trying to get us to talk about them. And,
well done, Doc.
I mean, I don't know. Is Melbourne still as livable as it once was?
No, it's shocking. Shocking.
It's turned to shit under the present government.
That's because you guys have turned to you-know-what. You've become old and cranky.
No, we haven't. Walk around the city, there's graffiti everywhere. It's an absolute disgrace.
Now, Doc,
by the way, just very quickly, how's my dear homeless friend who sleeps down
there? Yeah, she's still there. She was in the rain last week.
Absolute disgrace. She has got a small apartment set up on the footpath, and it is a disgrace. I have no idea why they allow it to go on. If you went down there with a tent, you'd be escorted out there within half an hour. But people, it's become a tourist attraction on our most famous boulevard, which is nothing much to speak about.
Now I've heard it all. You're suggesting that people actually go there just to look at poor old Cynthia.
They do.
Is that what you're saying?
They do.
She asks them for cigarettes, a clothing, and a bedding's crystal clean. It's pristine.
They give her food, sustenance. They sit round. It's a disgrace. Now, Doc, you asked me about do we have a weather bureau down here?
What do you guys call the Weather Bureau?
Well, we call it the Bureau of Meteorology. Or
what do you call it? What?
Meteorology? How do you say that word?
Yeah, because
meteorology
in Sydney, it's kind of known as the BOM, right? That's the Bureau of Meteorology. Have you ever heard that before, the BOM?
I've never heard that before.
Okay, well, in Sydney, people tend to go, the Bureau of Meteorology or the Weather Bureau or the BOM.
Yeah.
Well, they have just spent $70,000 on a rebranding exercise.
Oh, no.
And this is what they've said. This is what they've said. With an ever-increasing number of severe weather events, it's more crucial than ever for the Bureau of Meteorology's insights, wisdom, data and information to be shared, understood and acted upon. To support this, the Bureau of Meteorology asked the media to update their editorial style to ensure references to the organisation are by its full name, the Bureau of Meteorology, or the Bureau for short, not the bomb, not the Weather Bureau. So they have spent $70,000 of taxpayers' money to tell people they don't want to be called the Weather Bureau. They only want to be called the Bureau of Meteorology or the Bureau for short. Now, when you say the Bureau, there are lots of different bureaus out there, including the FBI, right, is a bureau. There are many other bureaus out there. And they don't want to be known as the bomb. Now, you know from experience, both of you.
That's an acronym.
It's like when you tell an AFL crowd, we don't want anyone booing anymore. What do? They boo. Well, I've never called them the bomb in my life, even though a lot of people in Sydney do. I've announced on radio this morning that for the rest of my life, they will be known as the bomb
or
the Weather Bureau, because that's not what they want to be called. If you're going to spend $70,000 of our money to tell us what not to call you, then that's exactly what we're going to call you. And guess what? When we try and ring the Weather Bureau or the bomb to get someone on the line to tell us what's happening with the weather, and you've got wild weather at the moment in Victoria, we've got some coming in the next 48 hours in New South Wales, you can never get a sucker on the phone. They never pick up the phone. If you get them on the phone, they can't string a sentence together. They are absolutely hopeless. And, mate, they don't even know what the weather's doing anyway. They say there's a 50% chance of rain. That's another way of saying we've got absolutely no idea.
Hey, now, Doc.
Sorry.
That's a nice building for the bomb, I'll tell you that.
Now, Doc.
Now, listen. Yes, yes, Don.
Now, listen, are you talking to your mate Richard Wilkins?
Yes, Dickie. Frequently.
Okay. Yep. Now, can you ask him? I looked at a clip last night, Paul Kelly and the song To Her Door.
Yeah.
You know his famous song, To Her Door?
Yeah, To Her Door, yeah.
Yes. Now, there were in the film clip, I think there's a young Julia Zemiro as the wife. Could you inquire as to whether it is Julia Zemiro, please? A very early version of Julia Zemiro.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah. To Her Door. It's the film clip, the Paul Kelly film clip.
Yes, the video film.
You're asking the doc
right now.
Personally to ask.
Can you hear this?
Yeah, I can hear it.
This will be good.
You can hear it?
Yes.
Is this Don's just asking a personal question?
No, he's not.
You're asking.
Hey, Dickie.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah, cool. I'm good. You're live on Sam Newman's podcast. Just a quick question. The film clip for Paul Kelly's To Her Door, is the young woman in that film clip a young Julia Zemiro?
I don't know.
Come on, Dickie.
I thought there was a liaison between Julia Zemiro in years gone by and Paul Kelly.
Hey, listen, Dickie's just confirmed. What'd you say, Dickie? It could be.
Definitely could be.
Dickie, I love you. Call you later, mate. So there you go. A confirmation from Richard Wilkins. Definitely could be.
That's excellent work, Doc, that you got him on the phone live and it came across the podcast.
Mate,
you're a star.
You guys should get Richard Wilkins on for a chat. This guy's got so many stories of starting MTV, of, you know, travelling the world with some of the biggest superstars. He's fallen in love with some of the most beautiful women that have ever been created on planet Earth.
Oh, Reddy,
I've got so many stories to tell.
He's fallen in love with what? How many women?
Million.
Hundreds.
What, is he just fall in and out of love at the drop of a hat, or there's nothing in his substance?
Substantive.
No. These days, he's got a lovely lady in his life, Nicola. I introduced the two of them, actually, and I should tell you how they met, you know, because I was a bit of a matchmaker.
Well, I'd be a bit worried if I was Nicola, because his track record is not terribly good.
Let him tell you how they met.
Excuse me.
Well,
back in our younger days, we all had wild streaks, Don. Okay,
I didn't.
And, you know, admittedly, Dickie's wild streak lasted about 60 years. But he's older and wiser, and he's got this lovely girl. I tell you what happened. We were in a backyard at someone's birthday party, and I was talking to this lady called Nicola, who I know really well. And Dickie said to me, he goes, who's that girl you were talking to? And I said, that's Nicola. And he said, how do you know Nicola? And I explained. And he said, I can't take my eyes off her.
How did you know her?
Well, I know her daughter used to work for me, and I've been friends with her sometimes through her daughter, right? So he said, I can't take my eyes off her. So I said, all right, I'll go and tell her. And he said, no. And I just walked away. I walked up to her and I said, Nicola, Richard Wilkins can't take his eyes off you. She looked over in the backyard, and there he was, all sheepish in the corner of the backyard looking at her. And then he just crept over and he said, I better leave before I say something I'm going to regret. And I said, no, I'll leave so you can say something that you will regret. And the two of them have been together since that night. It'll be coming up to, I don't know, 2 or 3 years or something like that now. And I think when you get him on, you should possibly ask him whether he's going to pop the question at some point.
Well, what about next time you go to a barbecue, there's Johnny and I.
Doc.
There are some jokes that don't even need a punchline, Don, and could you that's set, why you're damn fine, mate.
Could God, you set, could you set Dickie up with us to interview us?
I'd love to, and seriously,
well, I need his number.
So many. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll send a text so you've got both of them. And, you know, mate, I'm talking about, he goes all the way back. Any big superstar, he's got a story about everyone.
I went to the launch of his book.
Yeah, well, mate, that's right. He wrote the kind of sanitized version of the life of Richard Wilkins. Yep. He'll let a few more bigger secrets go when he's talking to you boys. And, you know, he's been there through some of the biggest moments, some of the biggest stories that have ever broken in the showbiz world. He's also very politically aware. So, you know, even though most of the time on television he's talking about music and movies and things like that, you ask him about politics or ask him about what's happening in the world, and he's got some very strong views. And he is a 10 out of 10 human being. And that's why I love the bloke.
So his book's sanitized. So what is he? You got a dirty side to his nature?
No, it's just controversial. You can't let things go.
You know, I get it, mate. If he wrote a chapter on every woman he'd made love to...
Oh, shit, we'd be here for ages, would we?
Yeah, you'd need the Old Testament, the New Testament, and probably 15 other testaments as well. You know, I mean, and that's not to be... I hope that's not disrespectful.
What do you think women see in him?
Oh, mate, you know, from the hair...
From the hair?
All the way down to the bottom. Right. He's got the hair on top of the head. He's got the big, you know, the big bouffant on the top of the head. He's got a heart of gold.
He's charismatic.
He's charismatic, he's caring, you know.
Shit, I might go with him myself.
But he's got it. He's a magnet.
Will you organise it, Doc, please?
I'll organise it. In fact, and I could probably give you a few names for you to ask him about, and that might prompt conversation. So I'll just give you some names of some people that I know that he has been particularly close to, and then you can say... So what's this person like? And you can just kind of have a listen to see whether he coughs up any additional information.
Do you think he'd be interested in Abby Chatfield? She's looking for somebody since she's got a higher media profile.
Talking about Abby Chatfield. You have become obsessed with Abby Chatfield. She's one quarter your age. Drop off.
Yeah, but she's only interested in people with high media profiles, and she's a bit worried about people taking advantage of her since she's got a profile.
Can you stop obsessing over Abby Chatfield? It's weird.
Yeah. it is. I don't even know who she is, Don.
She's the girl who took aim at you
That's
idiot.
That's right, and I said I didn't know who she was.
Well, I think you've got something in common. She'd like somebody in the media with a high profile. You would be her type of... Why don't we get her on?
I'd be her type of... She wouldn't come on. She would not come on this podcast, whoever her name is. She wouldn't come on.
Irene.
What's her name?
Irene Chatfield.
She would not come on. She wouldn't be game. Now,
well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Richard Wilkins will be coming on, and I'll line that up for you,
Dickie.
Yes.
That'd be good. And now, Doc, it's been fantastic. I'm glad you spoke about the netball, because I had exactly the same, not that that matters.
Just one question before I say goodbye. Did you hit record today?
Doc, we have sweated. I've had Shelley down from upstairs. I said, please tell me when that red button on, that means record. And she came down, she gave me the thumbs up. I've checked the levels, I've checked everything. If this, I'll tell you what now, Doc, if I have suddenly not pressed something and this is not recording, that's it for the podcast. We'll wind it up. You can do it. You can do it. That's it. So, Doc.
Well, boys,
been
I look
fantastic.
Forward to hearing Richard Wilkins on soon, and I'll talk to you in a fortnight.
You're a star, Doc. Thank you.
Love you, boys.
See you, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, he is off, I think. I think he's off. I'm
Did
sure
you
he's,
press some?
No, I've pressed him off. I'm sure he's off. I'm not sure he's off, but he is. So, Doc. That's
Why'd you push that button down?
Because that was his sound thing.
Right.
So if he's still on the line, we can't hear him, which is good.
Now, can we take a break?
Okay. Well, all right.
And we'll come back because I've got other topics I want to bring up.
Okay, Don. So here we go. We're taking a break. We've just spoken to the doc from Sydney and we're coming back for part three. And Kate Save. We have to mention what's going on with Kate Save.
You've done it.
No, they're extending the competition.
You've said that.
I have to mention how it's going to work.
Oh.
Because we said we'd be part of it, Don, and we're going to follow through. So here we go.